and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is giving the green light for more Patriot missile defense systems to NATO, which will then give them to Ukraine. CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon.
This is sort of a repackaging of systems that have already been in place and encouraging, as he has made abundantly clear, encouraging NATO partners to step up.
And Trump said he'll double tariffs on Russia's trading partners unless Moscow agrees to stop its invasion of Ukraine within 50 days. The investigation continues into the cause of the fire at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, that killed 9 residents. Mayor Paul Coogan.
A lot of these people needed assistance just getting out of the building, and a 5-star effort got as many people out as we could.
The EU is threatening retaliatory tariffs on goods imported from the U.S. Here, CBS's Remy Innocencio in London.
Europe's biggest exports to the U.S., things like French wine, for example, German cars, big pharma like Ozempic, for example.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin State Trap Shooting Championship just wrapped up at the WTA Shooting Complex in Nakusa on Sunday. More than 620 shooters participated throughout the week-long competition. Among those were many young people. Kyle Wojciechowski coaches the youth program and works for the Amateur Trap Shooting Association as the AIM state director. He said one of the highlights for him is shooting with his dad to try and win the parent-child trophy. They've won it a few times in the past. However, he's really there as a coach.
My favorite thing personally, I come down here for the kids to coach.
Many of these young people have been shooting trap for multiple years already and really enjoy not only the excitement of the sport, but also the discipline involved. At 15, Catherine said the 4 to 5 years she's been shooting trap has taught her many important life skills.
It teaches you a lot of things when you grow up, so then you learn crucial things like there's more than marksmanship, respect, integrity. It gets you out, like, I used to be really introverted and I didn't talk to anyone, so now I guess I'm doing this.
And while there were a lot of trophies being awarded throughout the competition, these young people aren't just there for the prizes. Catherine said it's almost like a big family community at these events.
The community is really nice. Everyone will try to help you, like give you tips. If you don't know what you're doing, they're really easygoing. They're patient.
17-year-old Lillian had a realistic outlook for the event.
At the end of this weekend, I'm just hoping to come out with a couple trophies and a better average than I started with.
And practically everyone agreed that the best food truck there was the ice cream.
The ice cream shop.
Probably the ice cream one.
Everybody says that. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers draft is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The MLB draft continues today. In the first round, the Brewers selected third baseman Andrew Fisher of the Tennessee Volunteers, who scouts say has modeled his swing after the Phillies' Bryce Harper.
I'm working on my swing in the cage a ton. I'm trying to emulate Harper as much as I can. Obviously, he has different rhythm in the box and different approach sometimes, but I mean, how could you not watch a guy like that hit?
In all, the Brewers drafted 5 players, 2 infielders, 3 pitchers. Yesterday, the Crew beat the Nationals 8-1. Freddy Peralta giving up just 1 run in 6 2/3 innings. Peralta asked about heading into the All-Star break just a game behind the first place Cubs.
I think that we are in great position right now. We're doing great because we are not thinking about how far we are from the first place.
NBA, the Bucks introducing Miles Turner, who showed off his new jersey.
See me in this bus green? Or my girlfriend told me I look good in green, so you know, it's going to be a seamless feat.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 85 degrees.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel, And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, State Senator Jamie Wall, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, and Chad Holmes recaps his poker tourney action in Vegas.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zobbers on the board. It is now 6 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Monday, July 14th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along. We're here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison on State Street. Blue skies above, beautiful day here, Zommers. And it's what Euchre would call getaway day. They go on the road, and the last game of the series, he'd say, well, it's getaway day here, folks. Got to get on the plane as soon as this one's over and head on to our next stop. It's getaway day for us. Got to pack up the gear. We had time to do a wash of laundry, fresh socks, underwear, and then it's back on the road tomorrow. Going to be coming to you from our studios down in Racine, the Jane Matinair booth in Radio City Park Rockette Hall.
I just hope that she doesn't finish off the fruit plate before we get there.
There's a fruit plate in Racine?
No.
I didn't. There will be Kringle because I'm going to get some Kringle for tomorrow's show. And maybe we'll get some Kringle people on the show tomorrow. That would be lovely.
That would be excellent.
That would be lovely. So we're going to be down there tomorrow. Zommers is coming along with me. We're going to have a 1967 Bluebird bus that Mathers is picking up with me. Because there was a lot of consternation around the vehicle here, and so they no longer trust Todd with the company credit card, and so poor Luke has to trek from his beautiful home in the Tony suburbs of Sun Prairie out to Wauwatosa to use his card to rent the vehicle. And so then I'm going down to Racine. We're going to pick up Jane and Greg, Jane Matinair and Greg Bach of the wonderful program Matinair on Air every morning from 9 to 11. And then after our program tomorrow in Racine, we're going to get on the Bluebird bus and we're going up to Oshkosh. And we're going to do the show on Wednesday from the EAA Museum in beautiful Oshkosh Bagosh. Then on Thursday, we'll be coming to you from a beautiful art studio where Jane and I are going to do a pottery off, where we each put a bunch of clay on a wheel and see who can spin who can throw a vase or vase the fastest. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Wait, the fastest or the best?
No, I think it's the fastest. Who can produce a vase the fastest?
Well, then you have to qualify, like, what exactly are you making?
Well,
because
I don't know.
Otherwise, all you got to do is toss it down, make it round, stick your hand in the middle for a hole, done.
Don't ruin the bit, Zommers.
We're
going to have a pottery off. Greg Bach is going to be painting a lovely landscape scene. In acrylic. Now, I thought it was oil.
I thought it was oil.
But apparently Bach works in acrylics, I'm told.
Gotcha.
So there's that. And then on Friday, and this is real, we're going to be coming to you from a place called The Lot. Now, don't get confused. It's not Big Lots, which is, have you ever been to a Big Lots?
I have not. Are they still around?
I think they are.
It's big, but I'm not sure there's a lot going on. Big lots, and so it's not that.
They still exist?
It's a place called The Lot, and it's right across from the Muskie 101 music station in Hayward. It's right along the highway. There's a lovely pavilion. Jane and Greg are going to be doing their show on stage from 9 until 11 Friday morning, and we're going to be doing our show from 2 until 4. So bring your lawn chair, bring a beverage, bring a pet, bring a friend, bring a frenemy, whatever you want to do, and meet Jane and Greg and myself. It's a much bigger deal to meet Jane, but I'll be there as well. So come on out. We're in serious now. I'm going to have coffee. We're going to be brewing Wonder State coffee there in all of our locations. We'll buy a cup of coffee. We might buy another beverage if it's in the afternoon. Heck, it's Hayward. We'll buy any beverage you want at 9 o'clock in the morning. As long as they're selling, we're buying.
So now, I looked up Big Lots. There are still stores, but all of them are contained from the southeast corner of Michigan over to Pennsylvania and down. I just thought that was very interesting how you look at the map and it's completely blank for the rest of the U.S. and then a huge blob.
Oh, I picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue. Anyway, it's 11 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Lots coming up on this show, including we're going to get to a big anniversary for Family Feud, big game show. And what else are we going to talk about? This is news you can use. We're touring around Wisconsin. Tick bites causing more people to go to the ER in 2025 than ever before.
Oof.
That's big news. We'll talk a little bit about that and much, much more. We got what's worse coming up, but I want to finish this. And there is a serious side to this, but it's also just like crazy. We talked a little bit about this last hour at the end. So on Twitter, Elmo, yes, that Elmo, the Tickle Me Elmo doll, but also as a character on Sesame Street. He has, or at least his handlers, have an official Twitter account. And so the beloved Muppet on Sesame Street, his official X account or Twitter account got hacked yesterday. And they sent out some cryptocurrency scam posts. But then also, and this is the serious side, sent out anti-Semitic posts largely targeting Jews and also Donald Trump. Multiple posts called for violence against Jewish people, which is sick, demented, and terrible, and also referred to a reported client list of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Now, as we talked about in hour one, Trump, who campaigned and said he was going to release the Epstein list and these people who were caught up in this sex trafficking ring. And now he says he and his Bondi girl, Pam Bondi, the attorney general, say there was no list. Suddenly it disappeared. As Marsha Brady said, something suddenly came up and it's not there anymore. And so a lot of MAGA types, as well as others, are very upset that Trump is covering all this up, allegedly because he was on the list. Well, this post on Elmo's official site yesterday says one post, and this is according to The Wrap, by the way, one post referred to the president as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's quote-unquote puppet because Trump, quote, is in the Epstein files, unquote. And I have to be very careful. While another tweet on Elmo's site called him a child effer and demanded the release of Epstein's client list. Now, that's not normally something you'd hear Elmo say if you watch Sesame Street. He doesn't use that kind of language. But it also kind of gets the point across. It drew a lot of eyes to this major story that Trump is apparently trying to make go away. So no, Elmo was not using the F word and vulgarity. He was hacked. And so they released, Sesame Street released a thing saying, Elmo's X account was briefly compromised yesterday by an unknown hacker who posted disgusting messages, including anti-Semitic and racist posts. A spokesman said the account has since been secured, unquote. Following the post, other users online expressed outrage, not at the post themselves, but rather at whoever took over the Muppet's account. So there you go. Sometimes things get hacked. All right. So it's coming up on 15 minutes past the hour, all 3 o'clock. We'll be following this, by the way, to see if any other Muppets get hacked. They may be Big Bird. Could get hacked at any moment. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you want to call in and talk about Elmo or anything else. Ron, listening in Milwaukee on WAUK. Ron, going to be back down in that part of the state tomorrow. What do we got?
Well, geez, you guys are quick. I barely got my shirt put back on here. And I think I'm presentable for the video podcast.
Well, good. I'm glad.
You know, maybe my first thought was maybe they should change the name of. I used to love going to Big Lots. I spent entirely too much money on
really
dubious stuff there, but I did get some bargains over the years, and then they disappeared. Mm-hmm. And here in southeastern Wisconsin, and I thought after a while, and I realized saw they were downsizing all over the country. I thought maybe they should rename themselves. Let's get Small Lots.
That would be pretty good.
Shrinkage lots.
Small lots.
Pretty good. More serious.
Yeah.
More seriously, I'd love to talk about Elmo, but more seriously, yeah. Everybody talks about one side of this thing. About the Republicans are deliberately delaying some of the big cuts to social programs until after the midterm elections, right?
Yep.
So that they don't have to face, you know, the consequences until it's too late. But I also think, let's just assume that despite that maneuver, the Democrats still take over the Senate or the House or both. All right. Mm-hmm. Then they just pivot because they've done this before. Now, then the Republicans start saying, well, the Democrats run Congress.
Exactly.
You know?
No, exactly.
Like they've always run Congress.
This
he had a post out. Trump himself had a post out like a couple of days ago where he listed 5 reasons that the economy is so crappy. And he kept, you know, in 2009, Biden did this, and then or Obama did this. And so, and he got all his dates wrong. None of those dates could have happened, including he had one for himself at the end where he says, and then in, you know, 2016, when I was president for the first time, I did X, Y, and Z and fixed all this. And it's like, no, you hadn't taken your oath of office yet. You know?
No, you're exactly right, Ron. And this is why, unfortunately, this budget, this so-called big, beautiful bill that Trump and the MAGAs put out there, this is why it is so perfect in terms of political or politics. And I don't know who came up with it, but unfortunately, they did a great job. Because if Democrats take control of one or both houses, Trump will say, well, see, this is what you get when Democrats are in control. All the cuts take effect after the election. Or it won't be talked about enough and Republicans will get back in control anyway. And then the pain will happen and they'll just lie about it and gaslight people and say it wasn't really them. So, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call. All right, let's start this out before the break here. Have we got time? Yeah, we got time. All right, here we go. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that. This
or that. But of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 11 news, talk, sports stations in the Civic Media Radio Network across the great state of Wisconsin. No better place to have your voice heard and your product advertised than here at Civic Media. Hit us up, civicmedia.us/sales. We'll be happy to help you out. All right, Zommers, I'm trying to lose a little weight. Maybe on this tour that Jane and Greg and I are taking, I'll do a little jogging up in northern Wisconsin. We'll see. Maybe along the Fox River somewhere in the Fox Valley. Anyway, here is today's category. Dieting or exercise? What's worse? Dieting or exercise? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today at your Android or Apple device. Simply go to your search bar, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Download it today. All right, dieting or exercise? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. We'll discuss that more on the other side. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's Big Bird. That's Elmo's song.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the
welcome
dance
back
floor.
To the Tallaball because Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock on a Monday, July 14th. Zommers spinning the exercise tunes on the board. Welcome back, everybody. Nicely done, Zommers. I want to lose a little weight. I'm the old gut is just getting a little too paunchy, if you know what I mean. So I'm trying to eat a little bit healthier. I need to get back into exercising. So today is what's worse, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. What's worse, dieting or exercise? Dieting or exercise? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Could also text on or chime in on YouTube channel, on Facebook, what is Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Twix, as Craig Ferguson likes to say. What's worse, dieting or exercise? I don't know. It's tough for me. I think, I don't know. You want to go first?
For me, it's very easy.
Really? It's very easy, he says. All right, what's worse?
Well, see, the thing is, I have a chronic illness that gives me ridiculous fatigue sometimes from standing up.
Yes.
So for me, exercise is way worse.
All right.
Meanwhile, it's super strange. Sometimes I have a recumbent, what's the word? Stationary, that's the word. Recumbent stationary bike in my garage.
What's the recumbent stationary bike per se?
So stationary bike means it's a workout bike. It doesn't go anywhere. You just pedal in place. And recumbent means you're like sitting back, laying down almost instead of sitting upright. Mm. I will stand up and walk down the stairs to the garage and my heart rate will go up to 140. I'll sit down on the bike and start actually exercising and it'll go back down to like 100.
Really?
It's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Your body is wired very differently.
Yeah, it doesn't work right.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but it's wired differently. For those that don't have that condition, what's worse, dieting or exercise? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, dieting or exercise? You can text us on the Civic Media app as well. I've done both. I've had success. Usually, if you want to actually lose weight, you have to do both.
Yeah.
You really can't do one and not the other to some degree. Well, Heather's chiming in there, and Eau Claire says they are both a struggle, especially at the fair. Yes, right? The Northern Wisconsin State Fair. But exercise is worse, she says. I like good food. I can do good food. I just need to stay away from junk food. The motivation to get up and exercise is more of a struggle. I'll disagree a little bit because I'm going to say, having done both and had success doing both, but then having not done either one well for quite a while and trying to get back into it, I think that beginning exercise might be worse. But once you get into the routine, like say, give it probably 3 weeks to a month. After you do it, if not every day, three or four times a week for a month, and you actually start feeling a little better, then you want to do it more. It almost becomes addictive. And of course, you know, back when I had a personal trainer, it also really helped because that motivation, and you look forward to seeing your trainer, and they motivate you and you feel better, and you know, it's a lot of fun. So I enjoyed exercise once I got into it. But it's just that it's those first 2 to 3 weeks where you're sore and you're out of breath and you know, that kind of thing. But once you get into it, exercise is fun. For me, dieting is easier to start, but more difficult to maintain. Because it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to, all right, tonight I'm going to take a trip to the grocery store and I'm going to buy the things that the fruits, the vegetables, whatever that I know I should be eating. But then for me, with this goofy schedule and media, finding the time to do the meal prep, finding the time to buy the food. My problem, because good food, A, is more expensive than junk food, and B, it doesn't have the shelf life.
And it takes longer to prepare usually.
Right. So you have to find time, and then you buy it, and then it goes bad. You got to throw it away. So I think that maintaining dieting is more difficult.
It can also be difficult when you have roommates. One of my roommates has the palate of like a six-year-old, and so he doesn't like vegetables. So that makes it hard to cook.
Do you guys eat together though?
Oh, most of the time.
Do you really?
Most evenings, yeah.
That's interesting. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Kurt, listening on WMDX in Madison. Kurt, dieting or exercise? What's worse?
Dieting is worse. And Todd, you nailed it. I used to swim a mile every day, 6 days a week, up until 5 years ago, and my job and my life prevented me from doing so. But there is something I'd like to share that worked, but I missed the part of what you have to do once you do it.
Okay.
I tried a 3-day fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll have to say day two was worse than day three, because by the time you get to day three, it's almost as your stomach is really shrinking down. And you know, you kind of lose a lot of the desire to want, you know, feel like you have to eat something.
Right.
But when you come out of that 3-day fast, one of the things I screwed up on is the food, how you reintroduce the foods and what foods you reintroduce.
Very interesting. I learned
it because I put like 5 pounds up, but I lost 11 pounds.
Wow, good for you. I would say we're up against the clock, Kurt. Thanks for the call. I would just make sure you do it under a doctor's supervision because, you know, sometimes that can mess stuff up. Don't take medical advice from this show unless it's from professionals. But I appreciate the call, Kurt. Thanks so much. Let's go quickly to Cam in Appleton. Cam, got 20 seconds. Dieting or exercise? What's worse?
Exercising easily. I've done dieting before, and I also got my stomach cut up into the size of a banana. So I can deal that game. Exercising, the most I can get is listening to CJ and seething and getting mad.
Let's not get personal, but thank you. Megan in Sun Prairie off the text line says dieting is worse. If people let it get out of hand or trying to lose weight solely by dieting fasting, it can get so dangerous. Well said, Megan. All right, come on back. I'm going to talk a family feud and the Miz is on the other side. Ag update is next from Pam Yonke and the Farm Team on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
When it comes to weed control in your alfalfa fields, what should you be scouting for this week? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday. And today we're talking about it with Extension Specialist Mark Renz from UW-Madison. Mark has some advice for growers the next time they walk in the alfalfa field.
Look for areas where that alfalfa is not growing effectively, and then we see suppressed growth and weeds taking over. A lot of times with these harvests, the harvest will actually manage and remove those weeds, so that's good. But if that alfalfa isn't growing well, then it might the weeds might come back and affect the competitive ability of that too. So just keep a lookout for those. And if you do see those weeds, we don't really have a lot of options. So then we have to look at which type of, are we going to manage it, yes or no? I always tell people that if you're going to use a herbicide, you need to get the value of that herbicide in yield in that subsequent cutting.
Mark Renz along with us. He's an extension specialist and plant science professor at UW-Madison. You can find the full conversation with Mark on all things alfalfa at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just check out our podcast page. Stick around for a look at closing markets coming your way.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
On the close Monday from Chicago, corn has the best story to tell. Cash corn closed up 4 cents at $4 a bushel. December new crop corn up a nickel and three quarters at $4.18 a bushel. Cash soybeans fell 3 1/4 cents at $10.01 a bushel. November new crop beans down a quarter of a cent at $10.07 a bushel. And new crop wheat closed down 3 1/2 cents at $5.41 1/2. Fluid milk prices are also falling. The August Class 3 milk contract is down 38 cents at $17.38 a hundredweight. The September contract down 23 cents at $18.17. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which is following a similar trend. The 40-pound block closed down a penny and a half at $1.64 1/2. Double A butter closed down a penny at $2.58 per pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bright and hazy today with mostly sunny skies and wildfire smoke and winds barely moving. High temperatures today will strike the upper 80s. But with the increased humidity, it's going to be feeling more like the low 90s. Stay cool and keep hydrated. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn,
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Star of Family Feud, Richard Dawson. Welcome back to the Tell All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Zomers on the board. Glad to have you along. Remember that? That's the Zomers did a great job. That is not the current Steve Harvey version of the theme song. That is your original Family Feud theme song. Why did I ask him to pull that up? Well, great story in Cord Cutter News. Great media publication. It was over the weekend on Saturday. It marked the 49th anniversary of the premiere of Family Feud, the beloved game show that first aired on ABC on July 12, 1976, hosted by the charismatic Richard Dawson. The show, which has become a staple of American television, introduced a fresh and engaging format that pitted families against each other to guess the most popular answers to survey questions. Sparky laughter, friendly competition, and memorable moments that continue to resonate with audiences today. When Family Feud debuted in 1976, it was created by Mark Goodson and Bill Todman, the masterminds behind other hit game shows like The Price is Right. Remember, I'm not sure if they say it anymore. But at the end of these great shows, it would say, this has been a Mark Goodson, Bill Todman production.
I think they still do. I feel like I've seen that.
It's fantastic. The concept was simple, yet brilliant. Two families of five competed to name the most common responses to questions asked of 100 people, with answers displayed on a colorful board. Richard Dawson, a British-born actor and comedian known for his role in Hogan's Heroes, brought a unique blend of wit, charm, and cheeky humor to the show. His habit of kissing female contestants, controversial even then, became a signature, if polarizing, part of the early feud experience. Dawson's quick banter and ability to connect with contestants made the show an instant hit. The original ABC show ran from 1976 to 1985, was a daytime television sensation, peaking with millions of viewers tuning in daily. The show's format, which rewarded quick thinking and relatable answers, resonated with families across America. Contestants battled for cash prizes and a chance to play the Fast Money Round, where two family members aimed to score 200 points for a shot at big winnings. The show's iconic buzzer sound and Dawson's playful delivery of "Survey Says" became a cultural touchstone. Zombers, here's a clip of a little Family Feud for the Rush Richard Dawson area.
100 people we surveyed. Top 7 answer on the board. Try and get the most popular one. Here's the question. Name an animal that a car is named for. Audrey.
Cougar.
A cougar. Let me see cougar. Number one. No way you can beat it. Number one, $48.
There was a car named number one. I was thinking Jaguar.
That'd be my first guess.
Cougar? There was a car named Cougar?
Apparently, and it was number one. You know, he did not say Survey Says in that clip. It must have been something they added later. This was episode 4, so.
Well, really, it was episode four.
So it must have been once they got into the groove, he started saying, "Survey says."
He said that a lot more when he went after that, because there was the full reveal at the list. Well, because they have two people and they had to hit the buzzer, that iconic buzzer sound and that determined which family. Like, so that person named the number one answer. So the other, he said, can't beat it. So that meant the family that got the number one answer, their team got to go first. So if they had been like the number two or three, he would have said to the other person who did not hit the button as fast, you go. And if they got the number one, then their team could either play or pass. And then when we went down the row, the person would give the answer, and that's what he would say. Survey says.
Sorry, I should have played this one first.
It's fine. That's the buzzer sound right there. But no, I mean, I never heard of a cougar car.
Me either.
I've never heard of that. I did see a lot of cougars at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the beer garden, as it turned out. But no. Anyway, it's a great show. After its initial run, Family Feud faced cancellation in 1985 due to declining ratings, but remember that it was revived. You don't remember it. You weren't born. Revived in 1988 with new host Ray Combs. The show has since undergone multiple revivals with hosts including Louie Anderson, Richard Karn, I don't remember that iteration, John O'Hurley, Mr. Peterman from the Seinfeld show, and the current version, Steve Harvey, who has hosted the show since 2010. Can you believe that? Since 2010, and brought a new level of humor and energy, making it a syndicated powerhouse. Family Feud has aired in various formats, including primetime specials, celebrity editions, but adapted in over 50 countries, providing universal appeal. Cindy in Appleton calling in. Cindy, do you have thanks for calling, Cindy, up there, beautiful Appleton. Do you have a Family Feud memory you'd like to share?
No, but I do think Mercury made a car, a Mercury Cougar. I'm almost positive.
Oh, you're absolute. Look at that. Zomer's pulled it up. You are 100% right. You get the award there. A 1967 Mercury Cougar. Well, yes, Cindy. Well done. Survey says Cindy got the number one answer.
We got a few people on YouTube and Facebook who also mentioned the Cougar.
Nicely done, Cindy. Well, that makes sense because the show premiered in the 70s, so it wouldn't have been that far away. Mercury, of course, now basically doesn't exist anymore. So
not technically. There's still Mercury's on the road.
But there's a new company, yeah.
They aren't made anymore. But anyway, I'm on my way to the Milwaukee Press Club for Ask the Journalist.
So oh, really?
We'll see how that event goes.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to call in and enjoy safe travels down there to Milwaukee.
Thank you. There's not a Brewer game today. I hope I get caught in traffic. I don't even know.
The Brewers are on a break. And what a great transition. Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate that. Brewers on the All-Star break. Getting ready to play the All-Star game. And over the weekend, and I want to play some of this. We'll see how much we play. I think it's fantastic. Our very own great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, was in the clubhouse over the weekend when Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, as he's called, the new phenom of the Milwaukee Brewers, was named to the All-Star roster. This is part of that post-game presser that our own Mike Clemens was at. And we're going to play you some of this. This is Jacob Mizorowski in the Brewers clubhouse over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm speechless. I mean, it's awesome. It's, very unexpected, and it's an honor.
I can tell you're emotional. Yeah. Jeff said you were emotional when you got the news. What are you thinking about to get this news?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming, and, I just want to honor the guys around me and, the Brewer.
This in your wildest dreams coming into this season, could you have envisioned something like this happening?
No, not even close.
how did they break the news to you? What happened?
Got called to the Murph's office and sitting in there, and he's like, hey, close the door, come on, get in here. And yeah, basically broke it to me, and I had to sit there the whole game and not tell anyone.
How hard was that?
It was hard. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to call your parents at all?
Or? No. This was like at 54, like 3 minutes before anthem. Like, yeah. So it was good.
Ms., your story is like remarkable so far. What do you want? What lesson is there about opportunity and seizing the moment?
Yeah, I mean, just do it. I mean, I don't think there's any second guessing it. I think you just gotta take the opportunity and run with it. So,
I mean, you've been in spring training. You've gotten to know these guys. You've been up for a couple weeks now. What have you felt in terms of, like, from your teammates and the guys in here about what you've done and how they've supported you and, you know, even their reaction maybe?
Yeah, no, they were all thrilled about it and they're happy for me. But, yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
How does it feel to represent them and the Brewers organization in this way?
Yeah, I mean, I got no words for it. I mean, it's an honor, and I'm just excited.
What were your plans for the break? You probably could use a break.
I was going to do nothing. Now I'm doing something. So, it's going to be fun.
Jacob, when you think of All-Star Game, is there a game that you think of maybe watching on TV as a kid? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I went to the one in Kansas City. What, that would have been 16, 15, somewhere in there?
I was going to say 14.
12? Okay, so yeah, 12. There you go. So I was a little off. But yeah, I remember going to that and seeing that, and I thought it was the coolest thing that all the big stars were in one place. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
This is like that's post-game press conference there over the weekend. Many thanks to our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, was at AmFam Field over the weekend. And that was Clemens asking that last question we took there, saying, is there a particular all-star game that you can remember? And it turns out in 2012, Mizrowski was there in Kansas City as a kid. Well, he's still a kid in a lot of ways, but as a true kid watching that. And here he is just over 10 years later, and he's in it. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, posted on socials over the weekend, said Jacob Mizrowski's selection to the All-Star game came with just 5 career starts. It's a Major League Baseball record. It breaks the previous record held by Pittsburgh Pirates' Paul Skeens, who made 11 starts before being selected in the 2024 All-Star game. The Miz selection comes just 1 month after his Major League debut on June 12th. Jacob told me, Clemens says, his most memorable All-Star game was the one he watched growing up as a kid and the one he got to attend hosted in his hometown in Kansas City in 2012. The National League won that night 8-0. Many thanks to Mike Clemens for that. Once again, fantastic reporting there and those questions of Jacob Mizrowski, who is on his way to the All-Star game. I'm going to be watching just for that. I hope they put him in because it's not, you know, not every single player always gets to play depending upon how it goes. But even if he gets, you know, one or two batters that he gets to pitch to, how crazily incredible is that to have Jacob Mizrowski on the mound in the All-Star game after 5 career starts in the bigs?
I also really hope they get to. That would be so cool.
Absolutely incredible. So really, really incredible. John in Edgerton, listening to MDX, says, end of the show. I remember Richard got into talking about Richard Dawson. All right. Well, we might talk about that a little bit later again. But no, I just think it's a great story. And the fact that Jacob Mizrowski is just such a wonderful pitcher with enormous talent. I'm telling you, the Brewers end the first half of the season here at the All-Star break 1 game behind the Chicago Cubs in the National League Central. They have a real shot. Name the top chance to win the Central. Survey says the Milwaukee Brewers. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it's now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across the state, followed by a check of weather. Zomer is going to be nice today. Maybe some rain in the forecast Wednesday, but that's okay. Jane and Greg and I are going to be inside the EAA Museum. Thursday, kind of 50-50, but Friday, shaping up so far, it looks pretty nice when we're out of doors, outdoors in beautiful Hayward
at the lot
at the lot right across from our station, the Muskie 101. That's what it is. Stop out and say Jane's going to be there and Greg from 9 until 11 on Friday morning in Hayward. We're going to be there from 2 until 4. Bring a lawn chair, bring a beverage. We'll have the coffee pot on. Stop by, say hi. Jane, Greg, and I out at the lot in Hayward on Friday. It's going to be a great week. And tomorrow, we're going to be coming to you from beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. Looking forward to that as well. And then immediately after the weather, you got sports. As we said, our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, giving you the updates there. Then Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by our friend Pete Schwabe and Conrad and Nightlight from our great station WGBW up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Some, not I won't call it breaking news, but some new news. According to Scott Bauer, a reporter's reporter at the Associated Press. Nobody is on top of things as well as Scott Bauer. Knowing him, been in the Capitol a long time. Great guy, great reporter. Scott Bauer says, conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley. Our friend Matt Flynn calls her the bad Bradley. You had Ann Walsh Bradley, who was the liberal from Richland Center, by the way, who's retiring. And then you've got Rebecca Bradley, the conservative, who is up for election in April. Get this, has raised no money, zero, cero, nada, for a re-election bid through the end of last month, according to a report her campaign filed with the state today. Meanwhile, Chris Taylor, the liberal candidate so far, has raised over $500,000, $583,000. Bauer says Bradley has not officially said whether she is running again, although she told WisPolitics in April that she planned to run again. This new filing showing no fundraising or spending will only fuel speculation that Bradley may not be running again. The last time Bradley reported raising any money at all was in 2022 when she reported collecting $700. This year's Wisconsin Supreme Court race broke national records for spending on judicial races with more than $100 million spent by candidates and others. I'm calling it right now. Chris Bradley, not running. I mean, she's not running. You don't raise zero money this year, less than a year out from an election, and your announced opponent so far has raised $500,000. You don't raise zero money and plan on running. She ain't running. Not gonna. I think, I can't say it. One of the State Journal reporter, great political reporter, been there forever. I can't say it now. Anyway, he reported his column that she was not going to run.
Unless you're banking on Elon Musk funding the whole thing. But no, I don't think that's actually going to happen.
There's that. But anyway, I don't think Bradley's running. So that's that. Here's a little news we can use this week. Jane and Greg and I getting on the road. Starting tomorrow for us, we're going to be, Jane and Greg and I are going to be, or Jane and Greg are hosting us in their living room at WRJN down in Racine, Kenosha. So we're going to be down there. They have a beautiful 1978 sofa that we're going to be lounging around on down there.
Don't tell JD.
Anyway, then we're getting on the road. We're going to be out in the North Woods later on this week. According to the State Journal, Dan Bice, that's what I was trying to say, just came. I've gotten to that age, Zommers, where things leave me, my brain, and then I'll be starting, and then I'll just, boom, they pop back. And Dan Bice reported, I believe, in his comment column that Bradley wasn't going to run again. She's not running. Anyway, from the State Journal, Journal Sentinel, tick bites, sending more people to the ER than past years, CDC data shows. This summer is shaping up to be one of the worst tick seasons in recent years. According to new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data, emergency room visits related to tick bites have spiked in 2025, reaching their highest point in 5 years nationwide, according to the CDC's Tick Bite Data Tracker. I did not know that. I didn't know there was a Tick Bite Data Tracker. The Northeast of the country has been hit particularly hard with tick bites, accounting for 283 ER visits per 100,000 during the peak month of May, up from around 209 around the same time in 2024. So tick bites, just use some common sense. Use DEET. I bought some for this trip. I don't care what they say. Give me the DEET. Bring on the DEET. 40% DEET. Give it to me. Spray it right on my arms, my ankles. I don't care.
This just in, Todd hates nature.
No, I love nature.
No, I know.
I love nature, but oh, buy the things that aren't DEET. This has citronella. And then you get ticks. I much rather have the DEET than have ticks. I love the outdoors, kayaking, tenting, hiking. I'm going to spend a lot of time this week in the outdoors.
You're just being realistic about it.
Right. Get the DEET. Just use your common sense. Don't freak out. It's just that we used to get ticks on us all the time at the farm. You know, you're taking a shower. Ah, there's a tick. Boom. No big deal.
They are
worse than they used to be, according to PJ Leash, the bug guy.
Well, yeah, and he was on Matt Nairn's program.
Exactly, that's what
so
I'm referring
Jane,
to,
yeah. Jane will have more details. And so we're going to sit around a campfire every night, and Jane and Greg and I are going to pick ticks off of each other. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, join us tomorrow. We'll be in Racine on the first leg of our tour. What makes Wisconsin great? Not going to want to miss it. Great week ahead. Until then, Todd Zommers saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you from Racine tomorrow.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More than 20 states are asking a judge to order administration officials to release billions of dollars in frozen grants for after-school and summer programs. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
Some of the school districts that are most likely to be affected by this freezing of the grants are actually in Republican congressional districts.
In the Oval Office with President Trump, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte applauded Trump's announcement that European countries will buy U.S.-produced weapons to send to Ukraine.
Ukraine can get its hands on really massive numbers of military equipment, both for air defense but also missiles.
Trump's threat to levy 30% tariffs on the European Union has Italian wineries worried. Lamberto Frescobaldi heads the Italian Wines Trade Association.
If he sees it at 20 and tomorrow is going to see find it at 32, most probably the same wine he's